welcome all to this episode of the Grovecast. This is a podcast by the pastors of Cedar Grove for the people of Cedar Grove. And I'm very, I guess I should say, of course, because most of you listening would recognize my voice, whether that's good or bad. But the gang's all here today. We got Jason and Kale and David all here. And we're going to try to do something maybe a little different in our topic. We're just going to talk a little bit about 2021, some of the We're having a little difficulty figuring out whether we call it the highlights. Some of the things we're going to talk about were pretty rough. Some difficult points of just some of the losses and things that we've experienced with some of our folks and some things like that. But I think important moments in the life of our church. The last couple of years has been challenging for all churches, as you know, and some churches have had legal battles over whether or not they can even meet in so many different places of the country, which we are fortunate to live in a state that's given churches basically the freedom to make their own decision on those kinds of things. So we haven't had to fight that by any means.
A lot around here, I guess, yeah. Kansas City, St. Louis area.
Very likely. And but we have had a couple of three times where we did not meet. And we'll talk about that and maybe a little bit of the whys. Maybe some people just think, well, you know, you had so many people infected, you couldn't have church. Well, that's not exactly how it goes down. But so, guys, each of us have kind of got some different ideas of some of the things that we wanted to start with or talk about. And, Kale, being the youngest mind in the room, was able to go back a little further than the rest of us, which I'm really glad he could, and said, so let's start back at last Easter. Mm-hmm. First of all, we did not have the Easter breakfast the last couple of years, which hopefully next year we'll be able to do that. So the Easter service had a little different look in some of that kind of thing and probably didn't have as many people. But Kale, just share with the folks a little bit about why last Easter of 2021 was so special.
Well, and first of all, I just want to say, I don't know if it's because I'm the youngest and stretchiest brain, but it might be because I haven't moved on since.
Okay.
Haven't left last Easter yet.
Yeah, still stuck in it, man. No, but we had Easter 2021, we had 5 baptisms. And did you want to share the names?
First names would be fine. Yeah, I don't think there's a problem. It's not like this is going to crowds of millions, just first names is fine.
Yeah, so as far as we could remember, I'm pretty sure there were only 5. And there was Logan and Maddie and Aaron, Jessica, and Paige. And those were really encouraging for the church. I know there were a couple of Sunday mornings this year that were really encouraging to our congregation, mm-hmm. and to me. 2 of them I can think of right now specifically, one of them being Easter Sunday, mm-hmm. and then the other one, I do not remember what day that was, but I remember Jason talking about it whenever you did the interview Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah, with Mike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and mm-hmm. that was great. You know, mm-hmm. Jason, I know you told me about how good the music was right after the interview. After he shared his testimony.
Yeah, it's just the kind of thing where, you know, sometimes I feel like, I need to do something to, in some way, you know, encourage or remind us to sing, you know, because I can show up Sunday and just go through the motions even. But that was one where I could tell, just even as people were responding to the testimony, I was like, I better just play the music and step out of the way. And it was just one where just the whole congregation were really responding, because it's just that malleable, you know, you could see the work of the gospel in that moment. And it was really sweet. And it was the kind of thing where I don't totally remember what songs we sang, but they were very just very on point. And it's just the kind of thing where it's like, you know, some people be like, it was the Holy Spirit in that moment, but it's also kind of like, that's why I do these types of songs, because almost any of them are going to work at that time. And, you know, almost every new song I introduced probably would have worked because of that. But it was like, just like, I'm so thankful for these songs. And that, you know, we learned them ahead of time. You know, I think if it was like a, and that's the way the Holy Spirit works, by the way. Mm-hmm. It was just a sweet time of worship. And I think we've really had several memorable times where I've walked out and I'm like, I don't know what's going on today, but just there are just some really special times of worship. You know, I think, you know, I always say God works no matter what we're feeling. So I don't ever want to say like, it was a sweet time because of this, this, and this, because I don't know what's going on in people's hearts. Even when sometimes I'll come away, maybe having put the wrong words of a song up or something. I don't know when I would have done that.
No, that never happens. Yeah.
But you know, I've always said, and I think like one of my worship leaders, I think Bob Coughlin says, don't ever like go up to a, you know, if someone says like, you know, great job this morning, don't ever, you know, go up to them and go, well, you know, I did this, and I, you know, don't start listing off, because you don't know what God was doing in the hearts, and it's not about, you know, it's not about you, and you know, this is a year that's, you know, reconfirmed that, as almost every year does. So,
well, I appreciate you guys mentioning that testimony, because it's one of the things I think we're trying to work toward a little bit, and praying that God gives us some opportunities to have some other folks share their testimonies. And so I was really pleased with how people responded to that. And then there's two things that came to my mind and why you're talking about that. One, I think this year when we had Alexis share her testimony from her experiences in Africa, a young lady in our church that has a real heart for God and for missions and is willing to go places where most young ladies, most young people in general, most older people in general would not want to go. And so she was willing to go and serve. And I think people really responded to that. It was an important time. And then this is one of the things that people, and I know a lot of the folks that listen on Facebook, and I appreciate so much that they tune in or are able to. And a lot of them I know have said, you know, I listen to guys every Sunday because of the situation. But, you know, one of the things that impresses me, and not impress in the fact that it's like, wow, that's really cool, but just leaves an impression on me is when Jason takes a moment and drops the instruments out. And as we used to say, sing an Acapulco, but anyway, and just lets the voices sing. And even though our crowds haven't been as big the last year or two, you still sense a spirit of people wanting to worship and lift their voices to God. And we have a few folks that can sing, and that makes it that much cooler in that. So those are some moments of worship that would be really hard to pinpoint which Sundays those were, but really, really, really been neat in that. So thanks for remembering that, Cale. All right. So let's go ahead. I want to go ahead and let's talk about a couple of the tough things. Let's deal with that for a little bit, and then we'll kind of get to some other things toward the end. But any year you go through the life of a church, you're going to lose some people. And I'm talking about in death. I mean, there's people that move away and such too, which that certainly has happened. But this has just seemed to have been an odd year in the way we've lost some folks. Fellow by the name of Dennis early in the year, and he was not a member here, but was connected here and knew so many people and that. And in a strange accident, a gentleman was lost in a house fire. And then we had a couple of our folks, and Eric was a member, and him and his family, and you know, they were both of those guys, huge part of our communities. I mean, they just had such an impact in our communities. And so it wasn't just a loss for our church, but it was a loss for our communities. And so one of the things that I saw in those is just the way the communities rallied together. So we did a funeral dinner for the Hurley family, But the community that they lived in, out south of town, I mean, they called. They said, we want to help. We want in on the funeral dinner, and we want to participate because this man means so much to us. And so I said, absolutely. So it was kind of a joint venture of people working together to just try to bring help and comfort to the family. And so that was very, very important in that. Yeah. The community really rallied around Brenda during the time of her husband's loss and the place where she works at Golden Valley. I was really impressed in how they handled that as an organization with the people there. It was really amazing about how people responded to that need. And then later in the year, of course, Carl Tannehill and Linda Kermsey due to COVID. And those were people that were just instrumental in who we are as a church. And so that's been really, really tough. But I've seen our church people rally around those folks, the widows, Harvey and Beverly, and just come. And this is where I'd love to just start throwing out a bunch of names of things I know that people have done to help them. Mm-hmm. But my fear in doing that is I'll leave somebody out somebody. And I know most of the people won't care because they're not doing it because they want their name mentioned or anything. But there's just so many of those kinds of things that are happening.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean we always get it right. Oh. I mean, I know there's been some folks that probably we could have or maybe should have done some more in some situations, because it's very difficult, and especially in a year like this, that you're trying to minister on so many different fronts.
Yeah.
That it's difficult. But those are four losses that in our church, it's just very, very difficult. And then Kale showed me something that, again, not really connected with our church, but was a huge community deal. There was a young man in our area named Bailey that was killed in a car wreck. And he was just such a dynamic young man. And the story behind that is Bailey had just come to know the Lord about a year prior to that. One of our other local pastors had been discipling him and had shared with me.
Praise God for that.
Oh, my gosh. It was just amazing. The growth that this young man had and many of his friends just were driven to God in some of that. And they began to realize their need for God. And so... that's something how sometimes the community just comes together in a loss like that and tries to support the family. So those are just some examples of some of the really tough moments, but even in those tough moments, you could see God at work, you could see people trying to support one another, you could see families coming together, and so difficult times, but important times in the life of our church. Okay. And I don't know if you guys have anything you want to add to that, or I just feel like that's pretty big.
Well, I think I know one of our own young men in particular was really not shaken, but really moved by the whole experience with Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
One of ours that just graduated. So, mm-hmm. It was good to see him dealing with it in a healthy and godly way,
mm-hmm.
because that's what you hope for whenever and obviously I haven't been here for very long, but I know that this church has been a huge part in raising him, especially like Drew mm-hmm. was integral in raising him up as a godly young man. And, it's cool because that's exactly what you want to see, is you want to see these young people growing up to live out their faith. Mm-hmm. And so he did a great job with that. I don't know. It's cool to see him.
Okay, sure.
Growing up.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, one of the other things, and of course, this is my mind. This is very recent, so it's fresh on my mind. But I kind of get your guys' take on it. But and maybe it was just kind of where I was at in light of some of these other things that have happened and stuff. But I just felt like our November worship services I don't know what the right word is. Meaningful, busy.
Well, we started to feel a little more of that normalcy coming back, and people getting together, just the whole fellowship aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we did is during our Veterans Day service, first of all, the quilt ministry ladies mm-hmm. made a quilt for every veteran in the church, which that's significant. And I think most of you that have been tuned in to different things, I mean, we have close to, I think we've come up with about 38 veterans in our church. And I don't know if that's a big number or a normal number for this area. I don't know. But and so something that Cedar Grove did years ago when Pastor Bill was pastor and when I was coming on board is they would let the veterans share their name, just go across the stage, share their name, where they served and when they served. And that was something they had done for years. Well, it kind of got to the point where we all kind of knew all the veterans. And then as I've looked around, I'm like, man, we have a lot of new veterans that people don't know, and a lot of our new people don't know the veterans that the rest of us know. So I said, man, it's maybe time mm-hmm. to let them just share, be introduced, and come across and share in that. And so in doing that, and the ladies with the quilts, the music, the service in general, I had some veterans leaving in tears that day. I mean, they were just really touched mm-hmm. and really encouraged by that. And that was some of our new folks that have come to the church. It's something, a way of just saying thank you in our belief and love of Christ, to say thank you to these people that have served in such a way that exemplifies sacrifice and love and service. And so that was a, I don't know, powerful service for a lot of people in that. And then we did the Lord's Supper in one of those, which is always a good time to come and share in that. And then we had our Operation Christmas Child, shoeboxes dedication. I thought you were going to say something, Gail. Go. No.
Well, the dedication was good because that was Brother Randy came.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he
Randy
actually did the prayer.
Yeah, I got to ask him to lead in the prayer dedication. Brother Randy is our director of missions for our association, and he just kind of randomly pops up at churches from here and there. I always tease him about, you know, when I taught school, the principal would just randomly pop into my class for evaluation.
For evaluation.
Yeah, so is that what you're doing?
No, we're just hanging out.
You're just hanging out. Yeah, David knows about that. But so I just have really appreciated, and behind each of those services were so many people who were working toward service. The Operation Christmas Child, and I know she does not do it for any notoriety, but Eileen, I don't think most people really understand what she does.
She is busy.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. That has made Operation Christmas Child just something amazing. I mean, she has a great team.
Okay, it started on next year's already.
And a lot of those people are already starting next year.
Yep.
But to think where Eileen was 10 years ago and to think that she is now leading a ministry in a church such as Operation Christmas Child and just doing a phenomenal job, that's the power of God. Mm-hmm. And she'll tell you that. And that's just really, really special when you see people with that capacity, that ability, and using it for the glory of God. And it's really, really special. Well, let's change gears for just a minute. And there are several things in 2021 that we kind of got back on track. We started our Wednesday nights back up and really pleased with that. We've started a couple of new groups to work on some planning and ministry opportunities. So, David, I wanted you to share a little bit about the mission team that kind of finally got off the ground.
Finally got off the ground. That's one of the things I had really hoped that I could do very quickly after I came on board, and then my health, and then COVID. And so we're finally getting our mission team, mission committee, whatever you want to call it, kind of off the ground. We've got some great folks working with that. We're We've got a couple of things. You remember we were asking for pill bottles, and we've asked for Bibles and literature, those kind of things. Those are going to ministries across the country and really around the world, especially the literature things. And so, you know, we're getting that started. We're also putting together some mission trip opportunities. We're gathering information right now to try to put together some place that we can go and serve and hopefully make a difference for the Lord in what we're doing. A friend of mine lives in South Texas, and we'll be visiting with him some more. We've been visiting with some folks in Montana. And so our state convention has
a long ways apart.
They
Montana
are a long ways
Texas.
Apart. We
wow.
may not go. That may be two trips
okay,
and not
okay,
one.
Okay.
but yeah, we so there's and then we're looking at what can we do locally. We've got some things on the agenda that guys coming up. A couple of things that we have talked about through the mission team is just simply a prayer drive seeking. You know, where is God at work? Where can God, you know, where can we join God in what he's doing locally? We've looked at, you know, just several different, we're looking at several different opportunities and options to try to help folks engage in just simply some missions activities.
Okay, that's exciting. And that's something that will have fruit for years to come as
I
we kind of look toward that. So.
Yep.
I appreciate that group and their work. So Jason and Kale, I want to talk to you guys a little bit and let you share about VBS. We got VBS back off the ground this year. We did last year, or 2020, but it had a lot different look, you know, because we just did it in, like, instead of a 1 week, we kind of did it each day or 1 day a week and just had 30 or 40 kids, had to limit the numbers. But we were back up. On this year and had a more normal looking VBS and I know so Jason how did you do after taking a year off from your exercise program getting back into leading VBS music?
It went really well. You know, I had some good helpers. We kind of had to graduate. We lost a lot of our old helpers, but so it was a new crew this year, and they did great. You know, thinking back to, you know, I feel like the last 2 years are combined, so it's all in some
together.
Ways it's kind of gone in a blink. So it didn't feel that much. You know, even the off year, there was things that I kind of enjoyed about that. You know, mm-hmm. Once a week, kind of spread it out, and it was kind of nice to have that like through the summer. But of course, the way that we do it, did it this year, we're able to have so many more kids. So yeah, it was really good. I feel like I've already kind of dumped it from my brain because it's like there's gonna be another one.
There's gonna be another.
Because this wasn't Concrete and Cranes. What was this? What was the theme of this one?
Oh, great. Don't ask a question like that right here.
What?
Destination Dig.
There we go.
Young man comes through again.
Yeah. It was good. And you know, I think this was, well, I hate to say, I shouldn't say this, but I thought this was one of our, like, at least best behaved bunch of kids. For me.
For you. Okay.
They were, I don't really remember, like, you know, I feel like I always have at least one come to Jesus moment. And I mean, the whole thing is a come to Jesus. You know what I mean by come to Jesus? Like I kind of have to, at least one class, I kind of have to get onto them, which, I always hate cause there's always like good kids in the class that always like kind of give me that face. Like we didn't do anything wrong. But yeah, it was a really good group of kids and it was good to be back. But honestly, it was so long ago now. My brain,
yeah.
I kind of can't remember.
So for those of you, if you're kind of new, you know, Jason leads the music. So VBS music is a whole lot different than when I was a kid. Because there's a lot of dance.
They don't
moves.
Even play chords anymore.
Yeah,
that stood down and stand up chords.
That we had. Wow, I'd even forgot about that.
Oh yeah, but, you got to know those chords so you know whether to stand up or sit down.
Yeah, there's a lot of our listeners have no idea what you're talking
probably
about,
not.
David, but I do. I do know. Do you know, Cale?
I have no idea.
I didn't figure so. No. But now, where was I going with that?
Brett Jason's.
Oh yeah. Hey, yeah. But there's a lot of very energetic, creative movement. We'll call it that.
Yeah.
Rather than dancing, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it...
yeah.
Yeah, it's I can't say that word. Choreography?
Yeah. There you go.
Does it sound right? Yeah, and it's... I've had some years where it's kind of like I get through the week and I'm not... My back is not functioning right.
Yeah.
I kind of have to plan on a chiropractor visit, which it's not that hard, but just doing it over and over again. Because I do about...
What, 5 times a day? Or?
Five times for 20 minutes a day. So it's about 2 hours, and it's repetitive movement for five times in 1 week. So,
it's a bunch.
Yeah.
It's a bunch. So, Cale, did you teach a class this year, or did you and Sage have a class?
Yeah. Sage and I taught. At one point, we had up to 11 5-year-olds, and it was a blast.
Mm-hmm.
and they loved – we had Cedar in there with us, and so they all loved her, obviously, because she's a cute baby. But, it was really fun, and it was the first time I've seen a real VBS in full force.
Right.
Because
– the first year, you didn't get to see that, yeah.
Yeah, well, and I've never been to a VBS.
There you go.
So this is great. So yeah, my first VBS ever was the weird COVID VBS, and all I heard was, "Well, you should see us whenever we're back to normal."
So I still heard
some of that this year, but it was much better. I think people were really, really excited about it, and much more happy with it, it was a good experience.
So I'll share one other thing about VBS, and there's so many things to pull out of. But on Thursdays is when we share the gospel message with the kids and, give them an opportunity to receive Christ. And there was one of the young students that wanted to lead the prayer. You remember this?
Mm-hmm.
And, you turn his name was Christian, right?
Yeah.
Which is really interesting. But so Christian volunteered to lead the prayer to close that. And I was a little nervous, just turn a kid loose saying a prayer. Oh, my gosh. It was an amazing prayer. And that was just one of those moments that was unexpected. And you could just hear him praying for kids to come to know Jesus. And not a rehearsed prayer, not a memorized prayer, but just from the heart. And that was one of those moments that kind of got me in that VBS thing. So that was a pretty special moment there. Okay. All right. Well, let's kind of wrap it up. We're probably getting pretty close to time. So long ago, my cell phone shut off. So we'll see where I can't even get it to come back on.
28 minutes.
Oh, okay. Oh, we got another hour or two. No, we don't want to do that. But there's another group that kind of works behind the scenes a little bit that some of our guys and a few of our ladies got in on some of the ministry where we build some handicap ramps. We help build some fences and things. And had some of our new folks involved. Did some drywall. Is that this year where we went down to Fairgrove and did that?
Very early on.
Very early on, yeah. We went to a church in Fairgrove, and that was like a 60 by 40 room at least.
It was pretty sizable.
We hung all the drywall in one and got one coat of mud on it in the first day, and then I had a couple guys go back with me, and we finished up the second and third coats on it. But I think we had about 11 to 12 people involved in that.
Close to a dozen, yeah.
Yeah, and so that was a really neat little trip that we were able to take and do. There's just been some things like that get done that we don't always talk a lot about, and you know, we've got some skilled guys that can do stuff like that and been a real blessing.
And some unskilled ones.
We all got to be gophers.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. You know, we've done some work for just people in the community, you know, people that we didn't even know that we've built some ramps for. And then we've got church members that we've helped, and some of the guys and gals have been involved in. And that just, you know, and those kinds of things are a blessing for people. And it's just really neat that a lot of that kind of stuff was still able to go on both years. Even the first year of COVID, we were able to do some of those kinds of things. And so that's going on all the time. At different stages, whether the church family hears about it or not, because it's just one of those things we don't spend a lot of time, and maybe we don't spend enough time, maybe just sharing the opportunities and things that are there. The quilt ladies, I'm telling you, they are quilting. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, there's somebody down there about every day.
Yeah, what they're doing and the different ways that they minister. The Christ Cupboard is going each month, and there are others. So,
well, the outreach ladies with their prayer work and cards and such. They're a blessing.
So it's things like that. Some of our new folks, it takes a while to kind of see some of those things and realize what's going on. And then sometimes our folks that have been here a while, we kind of take those things for granted and don't really recognize the importance of those things and the work that people are doing. All right. So one last shot. Anybody got a couple of other things that you think we need to talk about? Jason?
Just thinking, as you were talking about November, one of my highlights was that we did A Mighty Fortress, which is one I've been wanting to do forever.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's technically my fault. I could have picked, but it just seemed like the right time. And that was, you kind of mentioned, maybe mentioning my worship conference that I went to. Mm-hmm. I always go to it, although last year it was on video, which is just sitting at home watching it for all day, which is not that fun. But this year we went, and one of their emphasis, in fact, they're still doing it, is I think they're trying to do, you know, it's the Keith and Kristen Getty, who, you know, wrote In Christ Alone, Christ, Our Hope in Life and Death is kind of the newest one we do by them. They kind of do like a song a month, or they've kind of been trying to like encourage us to do a hymn of the faith. Like, I don't know, it was like weekly, and I know they're not done, but it was like they're trying to get us to do like 30. And it was funny because I wasn't going to do that because we have kind of a different mode, but we kind of like hymns that they were telling us to do, I kept ending up doing it. And one was A Mighty Fortress, which I was probably had been planning on doing for the last like couple of months, because it kind of took some work to figure out how to do it in a band way. That's just such a, I don't know, just one of my favorite hymns, and it was so good, and I felt like it was pretty well received. Like, everyone was, I mean, I know a lot of people knew it, so it was a great moment. Among others, I think there's a lot of songs that we did this year that I'm really glad that we're singing now. So
yeah, it's always interesting in a church like ours, because you have several people who have heard some of those old songs and grew up with some of those, and then you've got a large percentage of people that have never heard songs like that, and so it's really interesting to see people's reactions and responses to some of those songs.
Yeah.
And, so,
yeah. If you didn't grow up with hymns, and you sing a hymn, it's a new song.
It's a new song. Yeah.
And it's
cool. And I appreciate that we can kind of do both. You know, we can do some of the new stuff. And it's kind of funny. My younger sister from Hawaii is here, and they sing all the songs they sing. And so since she's been here the last 3 or 4 weeks, I'm like, did you know that one? And no, there's been two or three that she didn't know that were contemporary songs, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been interesting. I think she's enjoyed just kind of the different set of songs and worship time than what she was even used to.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest challenge, is now, you know, it used to be like either hymns or like, there were these
or not hymns.
Or not hymns, and it's just these certain group of not hymns. that people were all kind of, now everyone kind of draws from the same spot, from different, if you're doing something new, there's just different threads, unless it's like the top 10 on the radio, which I'm not bashing those songs, but it's not the best way to pick songs, because it's just what's popular, and they're going off of like feelings, not like what you can teach, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's some good ones. I mean, we do a few. There are some good ones, so I'm not just outright bashing those, but it's just we draw on so many. There's just different places to draw songs from, so which, you know, I kind of wish it was a little more, I guess, it's kind of a bad word for church, but universalized, where you could go from church to church, and even the new ones were more consistent. And there's places where that's getting kind of back to that, but there's just so many different places to draw from. Right. So
there's just a lot of music out there, we have access to it. So it's just so different than years past, when a church basically had a hymn book, and that's where you drew your choices from. Now you can go literally all over the world and find music and songs and hymns and such. So,
yep.
All right. Well, guys, I appreciate your time and just kind of reminiscing a little bit and remembering. There's some of these things I'm glad that we talked about just for my own sake, because the baptisms and such, and just some of the other things that you guys have shared. So I appreciate that. And hopefully if you hung in here till the end, that there's a few things that you learned or maybe reminded you of or helped you appreciate maybe something that people are doing in the church family. And also a call to participate in some of the things that are going to be coming. I'm excited about this next year, some of the planning and prayer and preparation that we're already doing. And not so that we can just have a busy year with lots of things going on, but so that we can do kingdom work and minister to people and help people grow in their faith. All right. Well, that'll wrap it up for this episode of the Grovecast. Thanks for listening. I'll give one plug. In the new year, we're going to be talking to some of our folks that have been involved firsthand in missions in several different ways. And I'm excited about, there's probably about five or six different couples that we're going to be visiting with and sharing, and I think you will really appreciate and enjoy their stories. So thanks for listening on the Grovecast.